As we take our Bibles, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. As we continue in the series on the fruit of the Spirit, as we think about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, of course, gives us these nine fruit of the Spirit. And it is just contrasting them with the fruit of the flesh. You can notice the list of the fruit of the flesh in verse 21. It says, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. In other words, this list, which is actually 17 items that it lists here, that's not an exhaustive list. The fruit of the flesh, the works of the flesh, is all kinds of corruption. Hatred, variance, murders, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, all this kind of rebellion against authority, hatred towards others, you know, all that stuff. That's not too hard for us to realize, hey, that's not of God. That's of the flesh. And the flesh is corrupt. But you know what? The fruit of the Spirit, it says in verse 22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. At least not yet. No. Against such, there is no law. And what a blessing that is. You know, so we've looked here at the fruit of the Spirit of love in past weeks. We looked at joy. We looked at peace, the peace that passes all understanding. And today we're going to be looking at the fruit of long-suffering. The fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering. Lord, we do need your help. We pause once again to simply ask that you would be our teacher, that you would guide, that you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit. I recognize that without your help, we cannot have this fruit in our life, but we sure need it. Help us to see that. In Jesus' name, amen. Long-suffering. This word here, the Greek word that's translated long-suffering, is a compound word, and it's makrothumos. If you were going to look at the Greek words there, makrothumos, it has the idea, makro has the idea of small or slow, and thumos has the idea of heat or wrath. Okay, makrothumos, the Greek words there that are translated long-suffering. And so we see literally that it's slow to boil or slow to wrath, something along that line, slow to boil. That's long-suffering. In the English, another word that we'd be more familiar with is the word patience. Patience, to have patience, patience with someone, patience through a difficulty, patience, really the idea of enduring hardship, enduring an offense. In fact, the dictionary said, in defining long-suffering, it said, patiently enduring offense or hardship, very patient during difficult times. Synonyms would be forbearing, to forbear someone, or patient, or perseverance, to have perseverance, long-suffering, synonym would be perseverance, consistency, steadfastness. An antonym of long-suffering, just to give you an idea, would be complaining, retaliating, quitting, or giving up, all right? And so that's an antonym of long-suffering. So we need long-suffering. Are we, when we're faced with difficulty, are we, you know, prone to quit, to give up? Or maybe it's somebody offends us or hurts us. Are we tempted to strike back? Are we tempted to retaliate instead of extend kindness? Well, long-suffering makes the difference here. When we're faced with unpleasant circumstances, are we prone to complain or to count our blessings? Long-suffering makes the difference. We understand that we cannot have the fruit of the Spirit without the Spirit, right? You can't grow apples without an apple tree, okay? And just because you have an apple tree doesn't guarantee you will have apples. And just because we're saved doesn't guarantee that we will have the fruit. As a apple tree or as a saved person, we need to abide in the soil of God's word. We need to take in the sap of his goodness. And so when the Holy Spirit is ruling our life, what's going to show is love, joy, the peace of God, and long suffering. When someone does us wrong, kindness is going to come out. We're going to forbear one another. That we're going to be patient with one another. When the way is hard to live for God, to direct our family in the ways of the Lord, you know what? We're going to be consistent, steadfast, enduring hardship, continuing to do what's right even when others scoff us or when we've faced some setbacks. You know, when I think of long suffering, it's a good illustration even here this morning is the farm scenario, right? I mean, on the farm, and you think of even back a few years when farming was even more arduous as far as physical labor, and I mean, you were in the dirt. There was no such thing as an air-conditioned cab, although you still have to fix those things sometimes. But you know what? The farmers of years gone by, and even yet today, there has to be this steadfastness, this endurance, that making it through difficult weather and being patient, not quitting, not giving up, and when things break down and when things don't go your way, and you've got to keep at it. You got to stay faithful. You can't quit. You can't give up. You got to keep at it. And that's how God wants us to be in our Christian life. That we would have this long suffering, that when a brother in Christ rubs us the wrong way, we keep at it. We love them. Instead of belittling them or attacking them, we're extending kindness. We're giving them love and we're blessing those who hurt us even. And that's what God wants to flow from our life. So as I am abiding in Christ, as I am depending on the Lord, what will come from my life is the fruit of the Spirit of God. And so the telltale thing here is that when I'm faced with difficulty or someone, you know, does something to offend me or hurt me, how I respond or how I react really shows whether I'm walking in the Spirit or whether I'm walking in the flesh. We all need to abide in the Spirit. It's not enough for us just to trust Christ as our Savior, although that's critical. You can't have the fruit of the Spirit without trusting Him first. You need to be an apple tree, all right? But as an apple tree, you still have to keep your roots in the soil, and you still have to let the sap of His Word, of His Spirit, flow through your life so that you can bear the fruit on the branches of your life. Long suffering. Speaking of trees, I read about the date palm, where we get dates from. The date palm is—they live for a very long time. They are unique in that they do not begin to bear fruit until the fourth year, and their fruit bearing does not become prosperous. Listen at this: until the trees are about 80 years old. Whoa, that's a long growing season. So they begin to bear some fruit in the first, you know, well, in the fourth year, but they really aren't a fruitful tree until 80 years of age. Wow. I mean, that's a long time. It says about them that at that time, 80 years of age, the trees produce approximately 100 pounds of fruit on an annual basis. 100 pounds of fruit for every tree. They are enduring trees that do not even reach their full potential until their 100th year. Now, there's a tree that shows us the need for longevity, for consistency, for faithfulness, to stick-to-itness, for endurance. That tree only really gets to a real mature fruit-bearing age until it's quite old by our human estimations. You know, as a Christian, sometimes we're so quick to, you know, we want to see results, right? We say, hey, I want to pray once this week and just see everything go my way, you know. Well, prayer isn't about things going my way, first of all, right? Prayer is about things going God's way. It's about me yielding to God, and it's about me enduring hardships and being faithful. And so the date palm is an example of that, perhaps we could say long-suffering or patience. It endures for the long haul, really, to be a fruit-bearing tree. I want you to notice that the Lord is long-suffering. Please go over to Psalms, if you would. Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Let's notice verse 15. The Bible says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." Wow, there's a mouthful. There's a huge aspect of God's character. Full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering. You know, if God wasn't long-suffering with you and me, we wouldn't be here. I mean, we would have been dead, judged, long ago. But the reality is that through God's long suffering, he calls men to repentance. He gives us space to repent. A familiar verse in Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. I'll flip over there, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God is keeping his word. You know, in the passage, in the context of 2 Peter, it's about the return of Christ and when the Lord will come back even when the Lord will come back to judge this world. And some scoff and say, well, he's not coming back, and you know, all this kind of thing. And God, the Bible answers the question and says, no, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. It's not that God is not keeping his promise, it's that he's long-suffering. It's that he's giving men more time. I'll tell you what, you see someone older who's got a wicked mouth, and you think, wow, God is long-suffering. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're like, wow, God's given them space. I pray that they would come to trust Christ who loves them. I'll tell you, there is no sinner too great that God is not willing to save. He wants to save everyone who will. He said, "Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely." And so God is long-suffering to us. And he calls us to have that same quality of which is the fruit of the Spirit of God in our life. The Lord Jesus tells us that in the world we shall have tribulation. John 16, verse 33. He says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You see, we are going to face hardships. I'll tell you what, I am very thankful for the United States of America. I'm thankful for men and women of generations past who have fought for our freedom, who have stood for what was right. And you know, that's a blessing. And we today enjoy so many freedoms that you and I did not personally fight for. There's people today fighting for freedom, and we should. We should stand faithful in our generation as well. And as I mentioned in prayer earlier this morning, the election is coming up, and we should prudently study different offices, judgeships, measures, elected officials, and we should place a vote with knowledge about where they stand and in light of what God's word teaches. That's important. It's very important. It's a privilege to be able to cast our vote. And so I hope that you will do that. The reality is we need to let our voice be heard in the ballot box as well. But we need to be faithful. In the United States, we've had many freedoms. But you know what? There are people, fellow believers to you and me, that have been persecuted, ostracized in this year alone. People that are ostracized for their faith and for their convictions. Would you and I be willing to stand? Will you stand in your home for what's right? Maybe there's no big public battle and a news thing where your business is being shut down, but are you willing to stand in your home and to have a godly home and to be concerned about the media that's coming into your home and things like that? Are you going to be enduring and long-suffering with longevity to say, hey, we're going to live for God in this home. Even though the pressures of the world are great, we're going to do what's right. We're going to be faithful to the Lord. And so this fruit of long-suffering is not just how I respond to someone else who hurts me, but it's about staying the course in difficulty. I remember when I was in some physical education, you know, classes when we were required to do like 2-mile run and things like that. I remember in those runs to feel like quitting. To feel like, oh, it's not working. You know, I think I'm feeling blood in my lungs and I want to quit, right? And I saw many classmates quitting in college. And, you know, maybe it was the last lap and they gave up, or maybe it was a few laps to go yet and they quit. And you know, I remember our teacher had always said, you know, he'd say, just finish, you know, you don't have to get the best time, he said, but just keep at it. Don't quit. Don't give up. And you know, there were some that were behind me that finished the race. There were some in front of me that finished the race. But there were some who quit. And of course, that's, you know, not as big a deal, although it's an illustration. In the Christian life, are you going to be faithful? Are you going to serve Christ regardless of how much pressure there is for you to bend? Are you going to live the Word of God? Are you going to walk in truth? Are you going to speak the truth? Stand on what's right. Live a godly life, even though the pressures and the scoffing of the world, or even other Christians sometimes, scoffing at living a godly life. Are you going to be faithful? We need that long suffering, that patience, that endurance. Let's go to Colossians 3. Colossians and chapter 3, verse 12. It says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, what are we to put on? Bowels of mercies. That's a heart of compassion. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, help me now, long suffering. So God says, I want you to put this on. This is an illustration. God says, just like you get dressed in the morning and, you know, put some work clothes on for the day, he says, I want you to get dressed in the character qualities of humbleness of mind, meekness, kindness, long-suffering. I want you to put on long-suffering so that as you go through this day, you're going to keep your eyes on Christ. When something's not going right, you're going to give it to God. You're going to say, Lord, how do you want me to handle this? When someone irritates you, instead of saying something mean to them, instead of striking back at them or something, you're going to say, Lord, your love, how do you want me to handle this? What kind thing can I do to this person who, you know, has hurt me or who has said this about me? You know, this goes in every area of our life, not only our physical, personal interactions, but on social media, how you talk to others, how you, the words you use, what you put out there. Are you going to conduct yourself in the way that pleases the Lord, with kindness towards others, with this long suffering? Verse 13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You remember Jesus said to one of the disciples who asked him, you know, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times, Lord? Jesus said, no. 70 times seven. 70 times. Now, it wasn't literally, okay, keep track, you know. But he was saying, like, no, don't keep track. Just forgive, forgive. Someone does you wrong. Maybe it's in your own home. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a child. And someone, you know, messes with your stuff, or someone breaks something of yours. And how are we going to respond? We're going to respond with that patience. Hey, please don't touch my stuff. I love you. You know, with kind words, right? Trying to work through it. And it's not that we just don't deal with things, but we work through it, but in the love of Christ, with patience towards others. And notice Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Colossians 1 and verse 10. Here's a key, really, to this whole thing. Colossians 1, verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened, notice this, verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Whose power? His power. His glorious power. All right, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Now notice what we're strengthened for. Unto all, help me now, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You see, we can't do this alone. This is a fruit of the Spirit. Remember? This is something God's not saying you need to be long-suffering of your own ability. No, we can't. We'll fail. My own ability gets mad at people. My flesh gets irritated and says nasty things. And hey, listen. No, God says, according to my glorious power, you can have patience. You can be long-suffering with joyfulness. With joyfulness. And so it's the strength of the Lord that we can do this. I want you to notice in 1 Peter chapter 2 the example of Christ. 1 Peter and chapter 2, we see the example of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 21. It says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled," verse 23, "when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." You see, when Jesus was attacked, when he was pressured, what came out was kindness. What came out was love, because that's what was in his heart. And the thing about the fruit of the Spirit is, if his sap has been flowing in our veins, figuratively speaking, if his sap has been flowing in our life, when we're squeezed, it's going to ooze out the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering of the Lord. When Paul and Silas were imprisoned in Philippi, and when they had been beaten, and their feet were fast in the stocks, and at midnight, no doubt in pain, very uncomfortable on a musty dirt floor, they sang praises to God. Why? Because it's what was inside. It's what was inside. And so the thing is there's no quick method to getting fruit. There's no like, you know, laboratory method of just get the fruit without the root, the tree, you know, the sap. No, it's got to be by abiding in Christ, by cultivating a walk with Him, that the fruit will be produced in our daily life. The fruit of kindness to others, but also the fruit here, as the definition has, the aspect of perseverance. Stick to it. Not going to quit. Going to be faithful. You know, I think of an inventor, Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison believed that he could invent, he believed that it was possible for there to be an electric light. Instead of the gas lights that they had, all pretty common, a gas flame, he believed that through arcing electricity or something like that, you could have a light. And he was trying to figure out how to capture this and get something that would work and that would, you know, endure long and share light in people's homes in a safer way. He tried and he tried and he lacked funding and he, through arduous process, he tried hundreds of things. In fact, I don't know whether it was an actual quote, but in a kind of animated documentary kind of thing, I heard him say, whether it was literally a quote, I don't know, but he said, "I think we found 1,000 things that don't work," you know? But he was persistent. And eventually he found something that did work. And you know, we need to be faithful. Remember the date palm? Maybe in your life you're in your infancy in Christ and you're struggling and you say, "Boy, it's just things are hard at this time." And hey, be faithful. Fruitful days are ahead as we abide in Christ. As we're faithful. Maybe someone's done you wrong. Maybe someone's hurt you. What are you extending to them? Are you saying, "Lord, help me. Help me to be kind. Help me to forgive. Help me to love." Are you running with patience the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? Are you abiding in the strength of the Lord? Remember, it's His glorious power that worketh in us. And so, long-suffering, makrothumos, slow to boil, slow to wrath, as the Greek word literally means. And so, are you going to stick with it? Are you going to let God's Spirit fill you with patience, with this long-suffering in your life? As we bow our heads, how is it with you? What's God spoken to you about? What change will you make in your life in light of what we've heard this morning? What change will you make? Are you going to say, "Hey, I need to soak my roots in the water of God's Word. I need to build the root structure by personal time with God daily. I need that. I need to start memorizing scripture that I take, you know, write out a verse on a 3x5 and I take it with me so I can meditate on it." What are you doing to get His sap in you? The Holy Spirit will guide us that we might be more like Christ and have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You for this lesson, the opportunity to be challenged in what You want us to be. Help us to choose to draw close to You and let Your Word dwell in us richly. In Jesus' name, amen.